Hello and welcome to the European Hoops Podcast. We are a Sportitos presentation. We bring you all the coverage you need of the EuroLeague. We recap and preview all the action and cover all the news surrounding the competition. Join us on this ride and learn more about some of the best basketball played in the world. Make sure you don't miss any episodes by subscribing to the podcast and follow us on Twitter at Itos EuroLeague. Hello, Diogo. Did you have time to process all the action of this EuroLeague doubleheader and are you ready to break it down?
Yeah, I'm ready, man. It was a great week. Let's get to it.
On this episode, we will be breaking down the standings with two rounds left after this doubleheader week and all the nine games of round 32. But we start with the news that broke. Wade Baldwin IV and Maccabi Tel Aviv seem to have agreed on a new contract extension. Personally, I'm quite excited about what Maccabi is building and the years that they will have ahead. They are keeping this core together and they are playing at an enticing level, playing such a good brand of basketball, making use of their length by being aggressive on both sides of the floor. Maccabi is one of the teams to follow up closely in this offseason, in my opinion, and see what pieces they can add to this core. How important is for them to keep this core together, and namely the signing and extending Wade as they just agreed to this contract extension due?
Yeah, this is huge for them. They're able to keep both Lorenzo Brown and Wade Baldwin for at least the next season. If they can keep this core together, I just think they need to add like a high IQ power forward, a guy like, I'm just going to throw out a name, like Luke Sigma.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what they are lacking a little bit. They've gotten better at it the last couple of games because they're playing amazing basketball, even in the half-court offense, which is where they struggled earlier. But I think that's really the type of guy that would unlock that team's offensive dynamics. So it's great for them. I will certainly be looking at what they do in the offseason. But I think Wade, like we've been talking about, I think they have the best backcourt in EuroLeague. So it's great for them that they can keep Wade Baldwin. And they are my favorite team to watch right now. So I can't wait to see what they do next year.
Yeah, and they still are very likely to have this postseason also to show and to keep building on what they have done already. So I'm also looking forward to watch what they can build there and have for next season. Besides a high IQ power forward, they can always use some extra rim protection and some extra shooting around their top players. But for me, the great thing about this team is that they already have the top pieces that they need on that backcourt, and they can just build from them now that they are keeping this core together and also keeping players like Sorkin that have been so important for them.
Yeah, right now I just think they need some complementary pieces, not superstars. I just think guys that can fit into their roles and complete what they are starting to do this year.
Absolutely, and we are a pro Sigma podcast, so that would be a great fit to see him going there. Let's look into the EuroLeague standings and see what changed. And we start at the top where Olympiacos might be very close to lock the first place of this regular season. With two rounds to go, they are now one win ahead of both Barcelona and Real Madrid. And we know that they have the tiebreaker advantage against either of those teams. Olympiacos will be visiting Red Star, and they will end the season at home with Baskonia. How high would you say that are the odds for them to lock this first place? And would you say that they will achieve that already on the next round?
I think they should be favorites to win that game against Red Star. But being a road game, there may be a chance for them to lose. But I think for sure they just need to split these two games to guarantee that first seed. And I think they will do that for sure, especially if they need a win to guarantee the number one seed at home. I have no doubt in my mind that they will win that game. So, I believe 100% that they will get the number one seed.
It's not a lock just yet, but I also believe strongly that they will manage to lock that first seed, needing just one win with two rounds to go, or even one loss from Real and one from Barcelona will also do it. They just have too many outs for not achieving that. Let's move to the Spanish teams. Barcelona passed Real in the standings. Both teams are now tied in second place with a record of 22 wins and 10 losses. Barcelona has the tiebreaker advantage. They will visit Milano and they will end the season at home with Valencia, while Real receives Bayern and then visits Maccabi to end the regular season. Who would you venture to say that will be the second once the regular season is done between these two teams?
I think probably Barcelona. I feel like Real Madrid has the toughest game out of those four games remaining for those two teams combined, which is visiting Maccabi. So I'm going to give the edge to Barcelona here.
Yeah, I think that Real has the hardest and the easiest game, although we just saw Bayern being able to be a tricky team to beat, but I think that Real has the hardest and easiest game. But I think that Barcelona is in a good momentum and they will be able to close probably with two victories in these two matches that they have left. I also favor them to end in second place. Monaco is in fourth place and already locked home court advantage since they have the tiebreak advantage against Maccabi that is two wins below them in fifth place. This was a very big achievement for Monaco on this season. To climb to the third place, they would need to win their last two games against Partizan at home and Efes on the road. And they will need that one of Barcelona Real to lose the two games that they have left. To end the season in second place, besides winning their last two games, they will need that both Spanish teams lose all of their games that they have the rest of the way. I would say that, and stop me if you think that I am wrong here, that at this point it's very likely that we will be seeing Monaco ending the season in fourth place.
Yeah, I think so. Even looking at Monaco's schedule, they face Partizan and Efes, so those are two very difficult games. It's not likely that they will win both, so they will not have a chance to surpass either Barcelona or Real Madrid. So I think they will stay in that fourth place.
And especially not having the tiebreak advantage with those teams, it makes it very hard.
Yeah.
And but ending in fourth place, it was a great achievement and a great regular season.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's see what they are able to do in the postseason. The fight for the playoff and seeding is red hot at the moment with Maccabi, Fenerbahce, Partizan, Baskonia, Žalgiris, Efes and Red Star on the mix. Red Star, while having a mathematical case, they are currently in 11th place and two wins below 8th place, and the odds of them qualifying are almost none at the moment. It's very unlikely that they will achieve the 8th place. Milano and Valencia are now out of the playoff run. So let's focus on the six teams that in all likelihood will take the places 5 to 8. Maccabi needs one win or one loss by Baskonia, Žalgiris or Partizan, and they are qualified. While their last two games aren't the easiest, with a visit to Žalgiris and a home game against Real, they are in the premium position to lock the playoffs. Fenerbahce, they place themselves on a tricky position after losing 4 out of their last 5 games. They are currently in 6th with a record of 18 wins and 14 losses. They are tied with Partizan, one win ahead of Baskonia and Žalgiris, and 2 wins ahead of Efes. They have the tiebreak advantage with Maccabi and Partizan, but not with Baskonia and Žalgiris, and that can make the math for this last seeds fascinating once the regular season is over, and that can get Fenerbahce in trouble if they don't take care of business the rest of the way. A lot will be in play for them on this next round at home against the rivals Efes, and they end the season on the road against Red Star, another game that can be tricky. We will break down Fenerbahce game, but they are not performing at the greatest level at the moment, and I think we might need to favor Efes on their next game, but still going 1-1 on their last two games might be enough. How big are the problems of Fenerbahce right now, Diogo?
I think they're pretty big, and they are depending on how long Wilbekin will stay out, because without him, their offense is really struggling. They are shooting terribly from three. They are not scoring enough. So it's been tough for them. So they need him back quick. Hopefully he can get back healthy enough for the playoffs. If they make it there, of course. But yeah, I think he's the key, because without him, Kalaric is not an offensive guard, as we know. And even with Pierre out as well, he gives them another option at the three and scoring the ball. So they are really struggling. That offense has been going through tough times. So they really need to get those guys back.
Things will get really wild for them if they lose their next game and all of Partizan, Baskonia, and Žalgiris win, because that places them in ninth place. And they will need not only to win their last game against Red Star on the road, a hard one, but also will need that Baskonia, Žalgiris, one of them loses so they can pass them on the standings in the end, because they don't have the tiebreak advantage against those two teams, and that can really make things tricky for Fenerbahce. So they really need to step up and take care of businesses, and we might see both Turkish teams outside of the playoffs, and that was somewhat unexpected in the beginning of the season, to say the least. But at the moment, as the thing stands, Fenerbahce depends only on themselves, and they are still strong contenders to make it to the playoffs, because even Baskonia, as we know, they end the season on the road against Olympiacos. That's certainly not an easy game, and Fenerbahce has all the conditions to secure one of these playoff positions, but they are in trouble, as you just pointed out. The next team currently in seventh is Partizan. They will visit Monaco and end the season at home with Panathinaikos. More importantly, they have the tiebreaker advantage with Baskonia, Žalgiris, and Efes, the three teams that are below them on the standings. And despite not having the advantage with neither Maccabi nor Fenerbahce, they went 1-1 for the season with those teams. And that places them in a somewhat comfortable position to make it into the playoffs if they win their last game against Panathinaikos, and they are playing at such a high level that I will say that they have a chance against Monaco, but we will leave that to our preview that comes out on Wednesday. Baskonia is currently in 8th place. They have a must-win game at home with Asvel, and they end the season on the road against Olympiacos. They have the tiebreaker advantage against Fenerbahce, Žalgiris, and Efes, but not with Partizan. Žalgiris receives Maccabi and visits Bayern on the last round. They have the tiebreaker advantage with Fenerbahce, but not with Baskonia, Partizan, and Efes. Lastly, Efes, their game with Fenerbahce is a key for them on the next round, since they cannot lose any of the two games that they have left the rest of the way. And winning by more than 9 points, probably it's a must for them, because that's the only way that they will have the tiebreak against the Fenerbahce. And if Baskonia Partizan win, and Efes wins by less than 9 points, they are automatically outside of the playoffs, even if they win the game against Fenerbahce. So that's another team that is on trouble right now. Want to make some predictions? Mine is that until the last round, we will have plenty of action and plenty to look for.
Yeah, for sure. There's still a lot of basketball to be played. The only thing I can predict is that I don't think Efes is going to end up making it, because I think that's a tough game against Fenerbahce, even with all their struggles, to go in there and win by more than 9 points on the road too. So Žalgiris and Baskonia, I think we're going to have to wait until the final round to know a little bit better what to predict. But I don't think Efes will be able to make it.
Yeah, if I have to gamble on it, I will say that Maccabi will be fifth, Partizan will be sixth, Fenerbahce will be eighth, and Žalgiris will be seventh. That's my bold prediction. And Žalgiris will be seventh in the last round after Baskonia losing against Olympiacos and Žalgiris getting...
So you have Žalgiris beating Maccabi and beating Bayern.
Yes, exactly. Žalgiris winning both of their games. That's their only way. And Baskonia losing with Olympiacos, and Fenerbahce losing with Efes and winning their last game. That's
okay.
My, my bold prediction, of course.
We'll see.
I have no idea. Anything can happen, and there is a lot of emotion and a lot to look at, and the EuroLeague couldn't be any more competitive than it was this year, so we are enjoying it to the most. But let's break down the nine games that happened on the round 32. Let's start with Efes, that had a good showing against Virtus. They won 86-67. Zizic was the MVP of the game with 24-6-1 and one steal. Elijah Bryant had 13-11-2, two steals and one block, while Mannion was the best for the visitors with 17-3-6 and one steal. Efes' key to win this game was their defense. After a poor shooting performance early on the game, Efes started to slowly make their open shots, and in the end, it was a good team win, with the home team making 28 assists. Plyce and Zizic combining for 38 points and doubling their season average on this game added another layer to Efes' offense and helped them to dominate this game. From the post-game interview, Ataman left two notes, one regarding the opponent coaches not wanting to meet them on the playoffs. The other one show a coach in a good mood despite their season being in trouble, and pointing out that they won their four games against Italian teams, and if they were playing the Italian championship, maybe they would be champions. Now for Efes, it's all about performing and winning each of their last two remaining games. What caught your eye on this performance, Theo?
Yeah, it's like you mentioned, the defense from Efes. We've been saying it all year, and they need to get stops, push the pace, shoot the three, and feed Will Clyburn especially, because I feel like he's the odd man out on their offense, and I don't agree with that at all. But it was a very good effort for them defensively, and they were able to control Virtus defending the ball. They started the game pretty slow in that first quarter, but then they were able to get some stops and then capitalize on offense. Those 28 assists, like you mentioned, are key for sure, because they usually don't move the ball a lot. So it's good to see them moving it around and shooting more threes, because they shot 26 in this game. And I think they should always be shooting over 23s a game, because they have the talent for that. And against a smaller and less physical Virtus team, Zizic and Plyce really took advantage of that. And they were the leading scorers for Efes. So, and for Virtus, it really hurts them not having Teodosic, because he is the engine of that team. His IQ and just his ability to still make plays, even at his age, they miss him a lot. So, yeah, it was a good win for Efes. They still have a long way to go if they want to make the playoffs. They have two important games, like we talked about previously. But it's a good win for them, regardless. For Virtus, they don't really have much to play for at this time. It's just about trying to play good basketball and trying to win some games. But without their best point guard and their leader, it's going to be tough for them to do that. But regardless, it is a good win for Efes.
Yeah, and they need all of the wins that they can get at this point. The next game was another very good showing by the Red Hot Maccabi. They won 85-66 against Milano. The MVP of the game was Lorenzo Brown with 17 points, 2 rebounds, 8 assists and 2 steals. Sorkin brought a lot of energy off the bench and ended the game with 18 points, 2 rebounds and 1 assist, while Napier was the best for the visitors with 15-4-4 and 1 steal. 6 wins in a row for Maccabi, and another really strong performance. Milano was able to put up a fight on the third quarter, but Maccabi length and energy never allowed Milano to get into a rhythm, ending the game with just 66 points. One of the impressive sights of the night was that Maccabi was able to be so dominant in a night that their three-point shooting was lacking, and took a while for it to come into play. Diogo, how far can this Maccabi team go?
The way they're playing right now, I really think they can get a upset. Their matchup with Monaco is not the most favorable for them, but they are playing much better basketball than Monaco, in my opinion at least. So, and that's probably going to be the 4-5 matchup. So I think Maccabi has a legit chance at making the Final Four. And if you were to ask me that about 2 months ago, I would probably laugh at that, because they really didn't, they hadn't figured each other out by that point. But their off-court offense is working now. They are moving the ball. The pick-and-roll action with the backdoor cuts, I mean, they are playing so well. Everybody contributes, whether it's the starting five, the bench. Their energy is crazy. The bench, DiBartolomeo and Sorokin coming off the bench is insane. They provide such energy and such passion to the game. And I think they really need that, and they are using it very nicely. And about this game, it was all about once DiBartolomeo came in the game off the bench to guard Napier and to try to limit his involvement in the game. And they did a pretty good job at it. Napier was still able to score some, but he didn't get his teammates involved as much. And Milano's offense wasn't flowing as nicely as this past couple of games. So that was a very good job defensively by Maccabi. With just their size, their athleticism, their length, they were able to bother Milano. And then on the offensive side, I mean, they were kind of... The game started pretty slow for both teams, but then Maccabi took off, and then Milano tried a zone defense late in the second quarter, and it seemed like it was working for at least two or three possessions, but then Maccabi hit back-to-back threes, and the problem was solved because they got their confidence back, and they just started to blow Milano out. Maccabi is for sure my favorite team to watch right now. I mean, those two guards, Lorenzo and Wade, are playing at such an elite level. And the rest of the guys are doing their job, everybody. So they really deserve their credit, man.
Yeah, Maccabi really deserves their credit. And they are peaking on the perfect time. And I'm looking forward to see that matchup that seems likely between them and Monaco in the playoffs. Will be certainly one matchup to track. And one of those two teams will deservedly make it to the Final Four. And... I think Maccabi has a real shot at doing it, despite the last time that those two teams met on Monaco, it was really a game that Monaco dominated. But I think that Maccabi is growing, and they will be able to find some solutions to give Monaco trouble. Let's move on to another game this time
around.
Hold on.
Before we go, let me just ask you a question. If Maccabi was able to get to the Final Four, do you think they would have a chance to compete at that level?
They will have a chance to make it to the finals. I don't think they would win.
Okay.
Because they would be facing, likely, the winner of the playoffs between Olympiacos and the last place, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they have a shot at winning in a given game, that matchup. And I think they have a shot to make it to the finals.
Okay.
I think it's hard for them to... I wouldn't favor them, but I think they have a shot to do it. Mm-hmm. I think it will be hard for them to get two of those wins, two of those upset wins, and to make it and winning. But I do think that they have a shot to make it to the finals. Okay. As I do think that Monaco has it as well. But I think against potentially Olympiacos, I think Maccabi has a bigger chance to surprise than Monaco does, in my opinion.
Okay. I disagree on that part, but I do think they can upset Olympiacos in the series. But I would give Monaco a better shot at that. But yeah, I agree with you at the bottom line, which is I think they can make it to the final. I agree.
I just think that Monaco can be more... easily. It's not an easy thing to do. But it will be easier for Olympiacos to overwhelm Monaco with their physicality and defense than it will be for them to do it against Maccabi. That's why I think that in terms of matchups, and from top of my head, I think that Monaco's shots to surprise will be slightly higher. But of course, I'm favoring Olympiacos on both of those matchups.
Okay,
it's just they do have a shot to make it to the finals. So either of the teams will be a good Final Four contender if they make it there. I'm curious to see how, because Maccabi's schedule the rest of the way is not that easy, and Partizan is playing at an incredible level. But we will get to that game, and then we can speak about the playoff matchups that we would like to see. The next game was in Spain between Barcelona and Alba. It ended with a Barcelona win 72-56. Shanley was the MVP of the game with 12-6-2 with two steals and two blocks. Mirotic ended the game with 11-6-1 block, while Olinda was the best for Alba with 7-5. both teams struggle offensively in this game. Alba went into halftime ahead 34-35, but in the second half, Barcelona absolutely dominated the game, especially defensively. On the third quarter, they allowed only 3 baskets to the visitors, and on the whole second half, only 21 points. Barcelona has been building a good momentum with 4 wins on their last 4 games. Was this one of those games where you just do whatever it takes to get the win and you move on?
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's always going to be games where you're supposed to win and then the game is like super close where it shouldn't be. And I think this was one of those cases. It was a pretty ugly game. I mean, both teams shooting the basketball pretty bad, struggling a lot. But in the end, it's all about getting the win. So Barcelona was able to do that, coming out of the half, playing very good defense in the second half, and allowing only 21 points for Alba in the second. So, I mean, we keep talking about the consistency or the lack of consistency by Barcelona. And I think this game is another proof of that, because usually they start the games pretty strong, and this was the total opposite. They came out sloppy in their first half, and they were losing at halftime. And then they were like, okay, we gotta win this game, so let's play a bit better now. And they did that, because they are obviously by far the better team between those two. But yeah, we just haven't seen Barcelona play consistent good basketball for 40 minutes. And if they want to be in the Final Four and in the final, they need to do that, because the other teams are coming for that award as well. Real Madrid, Olympiacos, everybody. So they need to figure it out, man. Seriously.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. The only thing that I have seen a positive change in Barcelona is that their ability to answer. Earlier in the season, when they were in trouble, they really struggled to do what you just said. So let's play a little bit better and get this win. And in higher profile games, let's step up our level and answer to this run from the other team. They are starting to be able to do that, but they are still pretty inconsistent across the game. And as we spoke before, their bench units and their starting units, they are really dependent of having Sato and Mirotic on the floor to produce and to perform at the highest level. They really don't stagger them enough. They don't find solutions for mixing and matching their players enough, and that is giving them trouble at some points. In this game, it was a team win. It was a good win for them, but they really didn't perform at a high level.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I think I need to see more of them doing that in terms of answering like to bad runs against better competition. Because against Alba, obviously, they're supposed to do that. But like the game against Fenerbahce, like a week ago or two, they wasn't able to respond, and they ended up losing. So I need to see them do that against top-tier competition. Because that's what they're going to get in the Final Four or in the playoffs. So if they're not able to respond to those top teams, it's going to be tough for them. So they really need to figure it out.
Yeah. Let's see if they have what it gets to win it all. They have the talent. Let's see if they can use it in the best way. The next game in Munich, Bayern received and lost to Monaco 81-84. The MVP of the game was Mike James with 28 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal. Jordan Lloyd had 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal. While Walden was the best for the home team with 18-3-3. This win allowed Monaco to lock home court advantage. But this really was a hard one for them. Mike James' big performance really was the key for them on a night that Bayern shown the ability to put up a fight. Was this a Trinchieri special to you?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, in the preview, I said that I thought Bayern would be able to make it tough for Monaco, and they did that, absolutely. Mike James had a monster game, and they were able to get a much-needed win after losing to Žalgiris. But yeah, it was a very physical game. I checked the free throw numbers, and it's kind of crazy. There were a total of 65 free throws in this game. So that just shows the level of physicality that both teams played with. And then for Bayern, Lucic, he tried his best. He had 20 points, and that's a very good thing for them because they need him to be playing at a high level offensively to be able to compete with these top teams because especially with all the injuries they have, they lack a bit of scoring. So they really need Lucic to step up, and he did that. But in the end, Monaco was the more talented team, and they were able to overcome the physicality with their talent, especially Mike James. Like you said, he had a very big game with 28 points. So it's a very good win for Monaco. It was a tough one to get, and they were able to do it.
Yeah, in this game, we saw Schiedham adding some options for Bayern on offense. And we saw also Lucic having some crazy three-pointers to keep the game close in the end. But a very positive note from this game was that John Brown was able to play surprisingly after their injury ahead of this doubleheader, and he seems to be in good shape. So that's very good news for Monaco that we'll really need him when the push comes to shove in the end of on the postseason. In Kaunas, Žalgiris beat at Valencia 95-74. Butkevicius was the MVP with 11, 4, 3, and 4 steals. Polonara had 6 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal, while Rivero was the best for Valencia with 17 and 6. This really was a team effort by Žalgiris in front of their home crowd that allows them to keep dreaming with the playoffs. They have shown the ability to give trouble to teams that play a lot in transition and shoot a lot of three-pointers. They did it again against Valencia, keeping them to only 38.5% from three, while shooting 48.3% themselves. What is your breakdown of this game, Diu?
To me, this game was all about adjustments because I have usually, not usually, but like in the past, I have questioned some decisions by Žalgiris coach, Maksytis. And in this game, he did a great job going small, using Ulanovas at the four and Smiths at the five, because they have been able to score at a much higher level when they use this lineup. And on defense, they do a great job on the perimeter. And playing against an opponent like Valencia that shoots the ball so much, they really needed to do a good job on the perimeter defense, and they did that. Obviously, they struggle against the opposing bigs because both Webb and Rivero led Valencia in scoring, but it's a choice that they made to live with that and not giving up them threes, and it paid off for them. They keep their dream alive, obviously, of going to the playoffs and trying to make that Final Four at home, but they need to be careful with their rotations. Again, going to the coaching part, they did a pretty good job strategy-wise, but I think Brazdeikis, Isaiah Taylor, and Ulanovas can't be on the bench for so long. Luckily for them, their bench unit did a pretty good job on this game, but in the past, they have struggled a lot. So I have some questions about their bench's consistency as far as producing in the second unit. So I think these three players, who in my opinion are the three best players on that team, they need to be on the court for more periods of time. But in the end, it was a great win by them, being able to blow out Valencia. And control their three-point shooting. That was awesome for them. So a very good win by Žalgiris.
I do think that they have a shot at making it to the playoffs. I think to the Final Four will be extremely hard to beat one of the top teams.
When he gets to the playoffs, like, everything's possible. So
yeah, of course. But I really enjoy the Žalgiris team, and I really enjoy to watch them playing at home. But I think they are missing some top pieces to be able to compete at the highest level.
I agree.
On this game against Valencia, they really dominated and had a very good performance. And as you just pointed out, they were able to find the right rotations and to find the right lineups, more than rotations, to give troubles to Valencia. And shout out for them for this great performance. But speaking about great performances, this was an absolutely incredible game between Partizan and Real Madrid. Partizan won 104-90. The MVP of this game was Matthias Lessort with 16 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. Panther had 16 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 steals, while Deck was the best for Real Madrid with 70 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. This was an incredible performance by Partizan that kept putting pressure on Real Madrid's basket and moving the ball so well to end up the game with 104 points in a game where 6 of their players ended in double digits. Would you say that with this performance, Partizan is a team to be feared in the postseason?
I wouldn't say feared, but definitely respected for sure. Even though they will be like the 6th, 7th seed, if they get Real Madrid or Barcelona, I think they have a chance because those two teams especially haven't shown, again, the level of consistency to be considered like that top tier contenders, you know, because they are very good for 15, 20 minutes, then they fall apart, then they get good again. So I think Partizan has a legit chance at beating them. Obviously, they would not be the favorites, of course, but I don't think either Real Madrid or Barcelona wants to face them. They would obviously prefer to face like Žalgiris or Baskonia. So especially having to go to Partizan for at least one game, they don't want to do that, especially after losing this one. So I think Partizan has been playing very good basketball, peaking at the right time. Same thing as Maccabi. And on this game, first of all, I got a shout out to you because you predicted it correctly. I had the opposite way because I had Real winning and Barcelona losing. So good job by you on the prediction. So this was a great team effort by Partizan. I said on the preview that Real Madrid would have too many options, and it was the complete opposite because Partizan was the team with 6 players scoring in double figures, like you mentioned. They fought the entire game. Similarly, with Bayern and Monaco, it was a very physical game as well, 68 free throws. But Real Madrid had a nice performance by, I'm not going to say a big three because I think Walter Tavares should be a part of the big three, and I'm not going to mention him here, but Musa, Ezonia, and Deck all played very good. But the rest of that amazing roster just didn't show up. And they need to be consistent. The bench, everybody. They have such great options and such a great roster that they need everybody contributing. And they didn't have that. So playing on the road, especially against a team and a crowd like Partizan, you really need everybody to show up. And that didn't happen for them. So this is a great win for Partizan.
You know what's funny for me? It's you were mentioning that Real Madrid and Barcelona haven't been consistent. We have spoken about Olympiacos being probably the best team. Well, they are performing as the best team of this edition of the EuroLeague, but not having a consistent closer. The matchup between Monaco and Maccabi, both of them have a chance to make it all the way to the finals, but neither would be favorites. So the field is totally open for this postseason of the EuroLeague, and it has the potential of being of having plenty of surprises and being one of the most interesting postseasons that we have seen in the EuroLeague, and really looking forward for it. And speaking of that, what matchups would you like to see on the postseason? I can go first. I think.
Hold on. Are you talking about just the first round of the playoffs, right?
Yeah. On the first round of the playoffs, because I would love to see a re-edition of this game between Partizan and the Real Madrid on the postseason. That will be awesome. Barcelona Fenerbahce would be great to watch. Monaco Maccabi would be great to watch. I guess I have to go Olympiacos Efes because I think that will be the best matchup. Otherwise, I think Olympiacos will have a somewhat interesting advantage that will put them in a good position to be the first team getting to the Final Four. But Baskonia can get hot and can give them some trouble. So either Baskonia or Efes, I think, will give the best matchup for the first against that place. Who would you have? Which matchups would you have?
Honestly, this is not very likely to happen, but I would love to see a Maccabi-Real Madrid matchup. Just because with those guards by Maccabi and the lack of guards for Real Madrid, and then they have Walter Tavares and Poirier, yes, but Maccabi is a fast team. very athletic, and they move a lot. So I wonder how Walter Tavares would be able to guard the pick and roll in a matchup like that. So I would be very curious to see, but I know it's not likely to happen because Maccabi will probably guarantee that fifth spot. So I think I'm going to agree with you with Partizan against either Real Madrid or Barcelona. Or, okay, hold on. This is what I think will happen. I think between Partizan, Fenerbahce, Real and Barcelona, I think those will be two matchups. Like Fenerbahce will get either Barcelona or Real, and Partizan will get the other one. And I think both of those matchups will be absolutely insane for a first round series. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we will have high level basketball. And I think that predicting the champion right now, it's almost impossible. And we might end up having a couple of surprises in the final four of the EuroLeague.
Yeah,
and
for sure. It's always great. I don't remember seeing a EuroLeague season this wide open.
Yeah, like, the field is completely open.
There was always favorites. Every season there are favorites. But I honestly can say that like six or seven teams could have a shot at going to the final. And I don't think that usually happens. So it's a pretty amazing season for EuroLeague basketball. And I can't wait to see how it unfolds.
Yeah. And I think that if Efes makes it to the eighth place, it's unlikely. But if they would, I would say that the eight teams making it to the postseason have a shot to win it all. Although, of course, like some have a way bigger shot than others. I don't think that Partizan would be a favorite in any matchup. But they have a shot to beat those teams. So it makes it a really, really enticing offseason. But let's continue. Let's break down the last three games of the round 32. Baskonia received and beat at Fenerbahce 92-69. Marinkovic was the MVP of the game with impressive 35 points. Matt Costello had 5 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals and 3 blocks. While Motley was the best for the visitors with 18-3-1, 1 steal and 1 block. From a great performance by Partizan, we go to another amazing performance by Baskonia. They took a massive step in direction to the playoffs with this win against Fenerbahce. After going into the second half down 6 points, they shown character with an explosive second half, scoring 54 points and mostly allowing only 25 points from Fenerbahce. Fenerbahce is really struggling with 4 losses on their last 5 games. But this was Baskonia at their best, wasn't it, you?
Honestly, I think they can be even better. Because if you look at the three-point shooting, in the second half, they were amazing, shooting 8 for 12 from 3. But in the first half, and especially that second quarter, they kind of struggled. And I think that for Baskonia on a perfect night, obviously, they're never going to shoot 100% from 3. But but I think they can do even better than this. I will say, though, on the defensive aspect, holding Fenerbahce to 69 points, it's pretty impressive. And you especially have said many times that the key for Baskonia to compete at the highest level is to stay consistent defensively. So you were right on that again. Congrats. But they did that, holding Fenerbahce to just 25 points in the second half and scoring 54. I mean, that's pretty insane. But yeah, this just shows that Fenerbahce without Wilbekin, they really struggle offensively, man. Like, you know, I don't like to look at numbers a lot, but 4 for 17 from 3, like, even the free throw shooting is struggling. Like, you can't make this up. So they really need to get those guys back. But for Baskonia, this was an incredible win. Marinkovic put on a show. And man, credit to Baskonia and to Penaroya because they took advantage of those struggles and they did a great job on D and then pushing that pace to win the three-point shooting battle. It's really a great win for them.
I should have phrased it that the second half was Baskonia at their best, not this game.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you're absolutely right on that. It was the second half showing that was absolutely dominating.
By the way, in all fairness to you, with the play style that they have, it's tough to have 40 minutes of great level basketball. So, yeah, it was the second half mostly, but yeah. close to perfection, I would say.
Yeah,
I think
that's going to help for us. And like you're saying, Fenerbahce are really struggling to find offensive solutions, and they are an elite team that should be able to do it even without Wilbekin, but they are really needing him. And for their own good, hopefully he's able to come back very soon. For in the Baskonia side, if they can perform like that, they can have some upsets on the offseason, even if the, in the postseason, even if they are not favorites. And they have a shot to make it to the playoffs and to guarantee an invite for next season of the EuroLeague. And for sure will mean a very successful season for them. They are performing at a good level. They are one of the interesting teams to follow. And it's about that consistency, and especially on defense, that it's what's between them and competing at the highest level and game after game against the top teams. The next game was the Greek derby, with Olympiacos winning Panathinaikos 81-73. Walkop was the MVP of the game with 11 points, 7 rebounds, 13 assists and 4 steals. Tarik Black had 21 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal and 1 block. While Gudiaitis was the best for Panathinaikos with 12 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist and 4 steals. The Greek derby was a hard-fought game, and Panathinaikos was able to stand up to the leader of the standings and gave them a run for their money. They were ahead in the first half, 33-38. Olympiacos dominated the third quarter, and despite some reaction from the visitors in the first quarter, they punched back and got the win behind big performances of Walkup and Tarik Black off the bench. We have seen Olympiacos struggling on these last games to perform offensively. We got to know that Cannon was away because he became a dad, and he's now back with the team, and he will be able to play on the team next game. Let's see if they can step up on that side of the court, because they will need it for the postseason. But this was another big win for Olympiacos in the Greek derby, and that puts them in a very favorable position to lock the first seed of the regular season of the EuroLeague. But let's talk about Walkup and Tarik Black. Those two really are guys that you can rely when push comes to shove, and when you need wins in the battles like this, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Thomas Walkup has become one of my favorite players in EuroLeague this year. His playmaking ability has improved so much over the past season. And I think a big part as to why Olympiacos has had such success this year is because of him. Because either they have Slokas, or when Slokas was out with injury, he kept leading them with assists, rebounds, steals, points. I mean, he does it all for the guard position. So I think he's super important for them. And Tarik Black, I mean, he just brings energy to that team. He's a big with different characteristics from Fall. And I think that's very good for them, because it gives them a different perspective as far as the offense and defense. He's more available physically, and I think they need that coming off the bench. His energy is very important. So they were the big pieces to this win, because they were down and then they came back, and I think most of that comeback was due to these two guys. So shout out to them. It's 13 straight wins now for Olympiacos over Panathinaikos. So they are just dominating this rivalry, and this win was very important, like you said, to keep fighting for that first seed, which I'm pretty sure they will get. So a very good win for them. As far as Panathinaikos, I mean, we already know, we've been saying this for a couple episodes now, they just need to keep building and try to make a nice comeback next year.
Yeah, it was nice to see Panathinaikos putting up a fight, despite being an inferior team at the moment. Gudiaitis had a very good performance for them, with Papagiannis in foul trouble. He was able to perform. But about what you were speaking about World Cup being such an important piece, and maybe one of the most important pieces for them, they are just selfless team with both Walkup and Vazenkov. They have such a selfless mentality on this game. The Walkup was asked about his 13 assists in the end of the game. And he was saying, it's very easy for me to do it when I have a guy like Sasha that I can just pass the ball and he will score and get me an assist. And we hear things coming from both of them. And I think this team plays so well because of that. They play a very selfless brand of basketball. And I don't have favorites. I love the competition and I love to follow EuroLeague and the competition of the EuroLeague. But this is a team that is good to cheer for. And if they win it all, they will be very good champions or worthy champions. That will be a pleasure to see them winning it all if they can make it. But they don't have an easy path ahead. But excellent win by Olympiacos and a very, very good season by Olympiacos. The last game was between ASVEL and Red Star. ASVEL lost 60-76. The MVP of the game was Campazzo with 11 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. Petrushev had 8-7, 3 steals and 1 block, while Nadodokolo was the best for the home team with 14 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals and 1 block. After heading into the halftime down 40-37, Red Star was able to flip the switch on the second half. They closed the paint, step up the intensity on defense, and allowed only 18 points to ASVEL on the second half. Red Star once again showed that they are at their best when they pressure the ball, cause mistakes, and they can run in transition, and with that allow their game to flow. 136 points. It was better than Barcelona against Alba, but still a pretty low-scoring game, as you had predicted, Jörg. What notes did you take from this game?
Yeah, mostly, I mean, on ASVEL's side, I mean, we just got to be honest here, they're not the most talented team, and I don't think this year they're not an EuroLeague-level team, at least in my opinion, in terms of talent. And as far as Red Star, we know they are very good at home, and on the road, not as much. They kind of struggle a lot. But they were able to defend in this game, like you mentioned, and especially in that second half, only allowing 18 points. But in that third quarter, they came out of the halftime focused and they forced 6 turnovers in that third quarter. And I think that was very important for them to get back in the game. And then it's just about that guard duo in Vildoza and Campazzo, especially now with Nedovic being out. They are handling the ball most of the time with the playmaking duties. And Vildoza had 8 assists and Campazzo had 6. So I think it's about getting stops and pushing the pace and letting these two make the decisions. And that it's going to go well for you. Usually we see them doing this at home, but not on the road. So shout out to them because they were able to do that in this game. And it's a very good win. They're not going to make the playoffs. It's like 0.001% chance at this point, but it's still great to get some wins, especially on the road, and to show that they are worthy of being a EuroLeague team.
Not only they are worthy to be EuroLeague team because of what they are able to do on the floor, the Serbian teams are two of the historical teams that really seem to belong in the EuroLeague and add value off the court to the EuroLeague as well. So let's hope we keep seeing them around for a long time and performing at the highest level. This was another European Hoops episode. Make sure you tune in Wednesday when we will be previewing round 33 of the EuroLeague and debate who the best center in the competition is. Subscribe to the podcast and follow us on Twitter at Ethos EuroLeague, where we bring you any news that break about the competition, must-watch games, injury reports, and our daily trades in the end of each day of the competition, bringing you all the highlights of the action. My name is Andre, and I'll be seeing you guys soon.
Bye, guys. See you on next episode.